Hey friends, are you ready to elevate your personal or business brand with a professionally self-published book? And you've tried to start, but you're not sure where to go or what to do. Or maybe you did get started, but you keep getting repeatedly stuck in the same place time and time again. Well, I work with thought leaders, executives, and speakers just like you to write and self-publish their book with confidence. If you've been burned by bad advice, overwhelmed by the fire hose of self-publishing information, or don't know where to turn, then listen in to Self-Publishing for Professionals for straightforward, actionable guidance without the fluff. Then you can avoid the biggest and costliest mistakes authors make. Self-Publishing for Professionals is your roadmap to becoming a published thought leader. Hi, friends and future authors. This is Lynn Liquidy Smargis back for another episode of Self-Publishing for Professionals. I'm so glad you're here, friends. Thanks for showing up for my new listeners. Make sure to hit the subscribe button. And thanks to my returning listeners for showing up. If you're listening to this on Overcast, welcome, welcome. I am so excited to bring you today's topic, which is why hiring the right editor makes all the difference. Because choosing the wrong editor lowers the quality of your book. And I have seen this in practice, my friends. This isn't just something I am literally making up. I have seen this so many times. I've actually worked on clients' books. They've said, I've hired two professional editors and I've read their book. And I'm like, this doesn't even look edited. Okay. I'm going to give you some tips on how to avoid that so that you choose the right editor for your book. I also did a different episode on this a couple episodes ago. So make sure to listen to the 22 questions you can ask your editor. You can obviously ask them more than 22. But these are some more guidelines on how to choose the right editor. Now, if you're looking for a nonfiction editor for your business book, I do a lot of that. Definitely hit me up. I would love to help you work on your book. So let's jump into today's episode. One, what makes an editor, quote unquote, right for your book? One is you want somebody that is well-practiced in the genre and subject matter. You don't want somebody to, grammar's not a big deal. You can go on Grammarly and do that. However, one of the things you do want to make sure of is that your editor does not use AI. So let me repeat that again. Make sure your editor does not use AI, especially if you're going for a traditionally published book. Because here's the deal, my friend. One of my friends in my writer's group knew somebody who they did not use AI to write their book, but their editor did use AI to edit their book. Now, I'm not sure if they knew their editor was using AI to edit their book, or if the editor said, I don't use AI to edit your book, and then used it anyway. Because the traditional publishing company, was one of the big five, found out that they used AI to edit their book and they pulled their contract. Because traditional publishers will not take on any book that uses any type of AI, whether that's editing or writing, for their book, because then that puts them at liability for copyright infringement, and the big five don't want to go there. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to either. Once had a client who I helped edit his book, literally wrote it with AI and didn't cite anything on it. And I told him, I said, listen, you can't bring this to a traditional publisher. He's like, oh no, I want a traditional publisher. And I'm like, you can't, like, you can bring it to a traditional publisher, but they're all going to tell you no, because they can tell by reading this book that was written by AI. And I told him, I said, you know, I can edit it and clean it up a bit. I said, but it's still going to look like it's written with AI, because it was written with AI. So, and you can tell the difference, especially if you are a seasoned pro, you can tell the difference in a book that is written with AI and one that is not. Keep that in mind, that make sure that if you are planning on going with traditional publisher, you cannot use AI, and double check and ask if the person that is editing your book uses AI. Now, I personally do not use any editors that use AI for my books. I will use Grammarly just for the, you know, grammar and spelling check, because that's not a big deal. But for like developmental line editing, things like that, I hire somebody else that's a pro to do the work, because they have the experience and knowledge to do that. So you want to find somebody, an editor that's in your genre and subject matter, and they know what they're doing. Okay. Especially for their developmental and line edit. That's really, really important. They need to understand who your target audience is and what your target audience expectations are. And you can give a person a copy of your book and say, who do you think my target audience is? And if they get it wrong, either you wrote for the wrong target audience, or they're not understanding who your book is for. So they should have some experience with books that are similar to yours in purpose and scope. If they don't, then you might want to find a different editor. That doesn't mean they can't edit your book. That means that they might not be a good fit for editing your book. They need to have a communication style that matches your preferences, right? Always want an editor who's working with you, not against you. So if you hire an editor and they're really being pushy, like, just get out of that relationship as soon as possible. Okay. One way that you can basically I call it taste testing your editor, is you can ask them, industry standard to ask for a free sample is 500 words. Never, my friends, never ask an editor to edit a chapter of your book for free. A, that's unprofessional. B, that's bad for your reputation. People will think you're disrespectful, because that is a disrespectful move, because we call that in the publishing arena, we call that Franken editing, where people will go 12 different editors and ask them to edit a chapter for free. And then you've got crazy edited by 12 different people that doesn't make sense and doesn't sound good and isn't good quality. Make sure that you are editing your book. Do a 500 word sample. That's fine. But whatever sample you give one editor, give the same sample to all editors. Don't give them all different samples thinking, you know, oh, I want to see how they do in different. No, that's not going to work. Too many variables. I used to teach science and we used to do the scientific method all the time. You want least variables possible. You want to copy and paste the exact same thing for every editor, okay, to edit your work. All right. To make sure that you do that so you can pick out which editor you like. If you feel like you like an editor's free sample, you can say, hey, can I pay you just to edit a chapter of my book? Because my friends, any good editor doesn't edit by the hour. They edit by the word. So if you have 1,000 words in your chapter one and they have a price of 4 cents per word, that's really easy to figure out how much it's going to be. So you take 1,000 times 4 cents per word. And I think that's going to be like, what, $400, $40? I don't know. My math brain's not on right now. Ask them for a per word price. You give them the chapter, they edit the chapter. And then you see if you like it, you know, continue forward with them and do the rest of your book. If you don't like it, you haven't made a huge investment in an editor. That is my suggestion. You don't even have to give them a whole chapter to pay edit. You can give them like 2,000 words and say, hey, edit this 2,000 words and I'll pay you for it and see if you like them. That way you're not getting knee deep in the weeds with an editor you don't know if you like. And if someone's fighting you on your voice and style and saying you should change it, then you need to find another editor, right? It gives you a good figure out of like what to do. Now, you don't want to pay like 12 editors, right? To edit 12 different, you know, 12 different segments of your book. So what you want to do is do a sample edits from like, you know, downlist, like shortlist, like 5 or 6 editors and ask them to each do a 500 word sample. And then from that, pick maybe 2 editors, maybe 3 editors to do a paid sample and then see what you like the best and see, are they communicative? Are they allowing you to reach out with questions? Are they available? Do they answer your questions? If they don't do any of these or they're not doing all of these, then you need to find a different editor, my friends, because all your editors should do all of those things. They need to have some type of professional credentials and training like EFA. I'm a member of EFA or another professional organization, and they might have a track record of successful books and satisfied authors. Now, one thing I will say with the track record piece is this. Sometimes I see people on, because EFA people will have like a book they need to edit. So for example, so if I'm an author with a 40,000 word book and I want to get it developmentally edited, because there's 4 stages of editing, which I went through on another episode. So make sure you go back and check that out. There's developmental editing, line editing, copy, and then grammar. Now, I'm not going to go into detail about all 4, but that's the order that you want to do them in. You don't do your grammar first and then go back and do your developmental edit, because you're going to have changes in your book that you have to rewrite. So you want to do your developmental editing first. So say I'm a person that owns a business and I'm writing a thought leadership book, and I have a 40,000 word book that I need to get developmentally edited. I've gone through it. I've written the rough draft. Maybe I've had some beta readers go through it and give me some suggestions. So I've done a couple rewrites on my own. Now, another thing I want to emphasize is self-editing is not professional editing. Let me say that one more time. Self-editing is not professional editing, and that Amazon algorithm is going to figure it out. And if they see that your book is low quality because you didn't get it professionally edited, they're going to downrank your book. So don't take that chance. Make the investment. Your book is an investment, my friends. It's your reputation. It's very, very hard to pick up the pieces of your reputation and put them back together if you put a bad book out, okay? That's low quality or not a good book in general. Getting back to the track record. One of the things I see some people do is they say, I want somebody who's written a New York Times bestseller. You want someone who writes, because why? You think your book's going to be a New York Times bestseller. Okay, that's fine if that's your goal. There's nothing wrong with that. It's very hard to do. You can do it. It can be achieved. However, the person that's reached that New York Times bestseller list isn't because they had a ghostwriter or an editor that made their book great. It's because that person had connections. That person knew who to reach out to get on that bestseller list. And that person literally sold 11,000 books the first week. You're not going to sell 11,000 books by having a great editor. You're going to sell 11,000 books by having a fabulous marketing plan that you're going to put tens of thousands of dollars into. So if you want to put tens of thousands of dollars into your marketing, that's your choice. You can do that. that's one of the ways you can get on the New York Times bestseller list, but it's not going to be the editor. Okay. Your editor should be a good editor, no matter if they're on the bestseller list or not. None of my books I've ever edited have been on the bestseller list, but that's because my clients aren't looking for New York Times bestsellers. They're looking for a good quality book they can give a client or a prospect that's going to impress them, that's going to make the sale. Keep that in mind. You're not looking for a New York Times bestseller or USA Today bestseller book. So if some, and the editor I work with has worked on New York bestsellers, that's because the authors are, were really popular authors, and he's worked on A-lister books. And of course, an A-lister book is going to be a New York Times bestseller. Typically, a New York editor. So a New York Times bestseller means that an editor has said, hey, I love this book. Okay. An editor might not like a book, and it's a perfectly good book, and it's not going to be on a New York Times bestseller list, even if you sell 100,000 copies the first week. So just be aware of that. The editor doesn't have to be, it's not going to be a good editor just because they've edited a book that's been on the New York Times bestseller list. Questions to ask potential editors. I went over that in, I did the 22 questions, but here's some other questions you can ask them in addition to that 22 questionnaire that I have on a few episodes back. How many books in my genre have you edited? What's your editing process and timeline? That's really important. And they should be able to give you a detailed walkthrough, because like, I'm typically 2 weeks out. Sometimes I'm 4 weeks out. Some people are a week out. Some people are 2 months out. Some people are 3 months out. Okay. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're a better or worse editor, because just like every other career path, editing goes through ebbs and flows. Like a lot of people always want to get their book edited in November, December, and for January. That's always a big time for editors and writers. April, you know, spring is typically slow, and then it picks up again in summer. Just depending on, you can't base it just depending on how far out they are, but they should be able to provide, again, the sample edit of 500 words. Ask people what's included in your editing package. How many rounds of revision? Do you give an editorial letter? Does your editor give you what's called a book style guide? So they may or may not give you a book style guide. So for my editing process, what I do is when I onboard the client, I get a copy of their book. I take that book and I divide it into chapters in the Google Doc. So each Google Doc has its own chapter. And then once I do that, I will edit chapter one, and I'll tell my client, hey, set up a time for us to meet next week, because I'm editing your chapter one. We're going to go over this and make sure I'm editing based on your voice and style. So one time I had a client that says, I never use this term, please take it out. So I did. And I had another client that says, like, this is not the way I talk, I would like it this way. So I changed it, and she was happy. I had another client that they decided to do something different with their book. So then we had to change up the way I was editing. That's what I do. So I onboard the client, give me their book, I put it into the Google Docs, I edit chapter one, and we meet. So then I know I have a baseline. Okay, this is what my client wants. And then from there on, I use that direction to edit their book, whether that's a developmental edit or a line edit. Another thing, my friend, you want to avoid is editors who say, I can do it all. Okay, no editor can do it all. I do ghostwriting, dev, and line editing. I do not do the proofreading or the other type of editing, because that is not my thing. I don't do that. Copy editing is not my thing whatsoever, right? I'm really good at developmental and line editing, not good at copy editing. That's why I work with somebody else who is really good at copy editing. You need to know what's exactly included in the editing package. And again, my friends, red warning flag. If somebody says, I don't contact you until your book is finished, big red flag, go the other way. Or I don't contact you until I'm halfway done. No, you should be able to contact that person reasonably via email and or text during normal business hours. If they don't allow you to do that with any questions, then that's not an editor you need to choose. All right. Another big red flag is editors who do it part-time. Now, I'm not talking about someone who's been in the industry for years and then now does it part-time because they're partly retired. That's perfectly fine. That person has experience. But one of the things that I found is that the people who are normally unhappy with their book have chosen an editor that they only do it on the side. For example, someone I recently had, their editor was a full-time university professor, or their ghostwriter was a full-time university professor, and they did ghostwriting on the side because they know it can make considerable money doing that as a side hustle, but they didn't write the right book. They wrote a memoir instead of a business book for this person, and this person's super unhappy, and he's paid thousands of dollars for a book he can't use. And that's not okay. You want to make sure that you have a editor that does editing full-time. Like, this is what I do full-time, friends. I ghostwrite and edit full-time. I write my own books full-time. I do a lot of writing. I live, breathe, and eat writing. Make sure you pick somebody who is doing this all the time, so they have a good background on editing. You also don't want to pick somebody that's outside your language. Like if I was writing a Spanish book, I would pick a fluent native Spanish speaker. If I was writing a German book, I would pick a German speaker. I would not pick somebody who's not inside that language. Okay. So if you are hiring somebody to edit your English speaking book, make sure that they know English as their first language or they are very fluent in English and that when you're speaking to them, they don't have to think about what they're going to say next. Okay. Because if they do, then that's not the person to edit your book, right? Like I wouldn't edit a Spanish or German book because I don't know enough Spanish or German to edit a book. I know enough Spanish to get by when I'm traveling and that's it. But that does not qualify me as an editor. Another thing that doesn't qualify an editor, my friends, is a friend. Don't ever let a friend edit your book or someone who is like a English major in college 20 years ago or 10 years ago, okay? Being an English major is different than editing a book. Don't let friends edit their books. Let's get on to the next section. Let's see. We've got references. You want to ask for references from other authors, okay? Ask for 2 references and call them. Don't assume because you're getting a reference that it's going to be a good reference, okay? Call them and ask some questions. How did they like their experience? Did they do a good job? Did they keep their voice and style? Make sure you do that. Never ever. Here's another red flag, my friends. Someone I'm now currently working with who I believe they told him they edited his book. They didn't edit his book because I'm reading it and there's basic mistakes in it that should have been taken out. And the reason they said that they didn't want to edit his book, quote unquote, too much was because they wanted to retain his voice and style. Now, my friends, that's total BS. You can do a heavy edit on a book and still retain somebody's voice and style. So keep that in mind that somebody should dig in and do a good job editing your book because then you're getting your value for your editor. All right, my friends. And if you are looking for an editor and you are having a hard time finding one, please reach out to me. If you're not sure where to start, book a Path to Publishing discovery call. I'd be glad to help you find an editor in your genre. Or if you're looking to hire a nonfiction editor, I'd be happy to help you out. Jump on a Path to Publishing discovery call and find out more about my services today. If you are stuck in the middle of your book and you're not sure where to go next, you can definitely get my book From Idea to Outline and restart your outline. That would help you get better focus and continue on with your book. So make sure you find those links in the show notes below or in the YouTube description if you're watching this on video. Also ask how do you handle revisions and follow-up questions? What I do is after I've gone through their book and done the first round of edits, we meet again on Zoom and any of the comments or anything in the side I didn't resolve, we go through that and resolve all those questions in our last meeting. It's a very easy process with me. It's you give me your book, I edit the first chapter. We meet to make sure the editing is in your voice and tone and style. I continue on with the edits. We meet in the middle once to clear up anything that we've gone the first half so far. And then I edit the rest of your book and we meet again once at the end to clear up any other revisions. And then your book editing is finished. I also do double editing, which is I can do a dev and a line edit at the same time for someone's book. Well, not at the same time, but we do the dev edit first and then we go back and do the line edit. Remember to evaluate their editing style and approach. Okay. Is it heavy-handed or is it respectful? Are they working against you or they have their own agenda or are they working with you? You want someone who's collaborative. If you get any weird feeling, my friends, trust your instincts. If you're seeing any red flags, trust your instincts and don't hire that editor. Check to make sure they understand your voice, your message, and your style of writing. Okay. It's worth paying for a sample to ensure a good fit because you don't want somebody that's not a good fit because then you're going to end up wasting your money and we don't want to waste money. There's nothing wrong with investing money in your book, but you want to make sure, like everything else you spend money on, it's of good value to you. It's better to discover that mismatch early if you do a paid sample of like 5 pages or whatever, then after 200 pages of your book and you spend thousands of dollars. Your working relationship matters because you're going to collaborate closely for several months or weeks with this person. You want to make sure that your personality also clicks. If your personality doesn't click, then you don't want to use that person because they're going to be like your book BFF for a while, especially if they're your ghostwriter. You need to have good chemistry and good communication for a smooth process. Trust your instincts about compatibility. Trust them, my friend. Your instincts are almost always right. I'd rather trust my instincts about compatibility than my logical thinking because I typically can pick that up 99% of the time in somebody if we're not a good fit or not. Professional but personable is ideal combination for your editor and they should have a clear communication that prevents frustration and delays, okay? So here are some, again, warning signs of the wrong editor fit. They don't ask questions about your goals for the book. Can't articulate their editing philosophy or approach. They're dismissive of your concerns, or they don't answer your questions. They don't have a clear process, or they don't have a timeline, or they can't explain their timeline. That's a red flag. Vague about qualifications or experience, and they're unable to provide work samples or references. Now, even a new editor can provide work samples because they can do some free editing work or some low-cost editing work and provide you with a work sample. A new editor can edit somebody that they know that they're booked, but they're working on being an editor. Keep that in mind. It's okay to hire a new editor as long as they have all the other checkboxes. All right, so red flags in editor pricing. They price significantly below market rate. Ask them why. Maybe they're a new editor, so that, you know, that I can give some leeway to, because they're just trying to get some work. But ask them why they are priced lower than everybody else, because not the lowest priced person is not always the person you want to go with. Editors who don't specialize in your genre, but claim they can edit anything. Like, I can edit anything. Nope, go the other way. My friends, don't pick that editor. If they're unclear about what's included in the price, like you don't know how many revisions, or you don't know how often you can communicate with them, or you don't know if you can meet with them on Zoom. They're unclear about what's in the price. That's not an editor you want to go with. They have no contract or revision policy. Like, they're like, I'll do unlimited revisions. That's really bad. Bad for a lot of different reasons. It might sound like a good deal at first, but it's not good because one, it's going to get you stuck in the revision cycle, my friend. Like, you're going to be like, oh, it's not good yet. It's not good enough yet. It's not good enough yet. I've seen people do that. You don't want to get stuck in the revision cycle. Okay. Two revisions is standard. So you go through it once, you make the corrections, you go through it one more time. That's a standard quality thing is two revisions. Look for two revisions. And if they have no contract, I have a customer agreement, right? It's not any long-term contract, but it says what I'm going to deliver and what I expect from my client. I can do it all. Editors who claim every specialty, again, real professionals specialize. They don't do, I can do everything in nonfiction and fiction. I can do a lot of nonfiction. Some nonfiction I don't do, but I do most nonfiction, but I typically don't do fiction, right? That's not something I do. All right, my friends, make sure that you know what you're doing. One of the things, your three action steps you want to do is A, make a list of questions for your editor. Okay, you can use this episode, listen to it again to base your questions off of. Second is if you interviewing your editors, ask for a free sample from your short list and ask for a paid sample from your short list. Make sure that you are giving them all the same thing to edit, even if it's a paid sample. Number three is make sure you're personally compatible with this person. If you get any red flags in any categories, my friends, do not hire the editor. There's plenty of editors out there for you to choose from. Push back your deadline of publication if you need to, but you want to have a good editing experience. I cannot tell you how many times I have talked to clients and prospects who have had a bad editing or ghostwriting experience, and they wish they would have picked another editor and pushed their book back because now they have a book they don't even like. Somebody I'm working with now, that happened with them, with a publisher that watered down their material and they weren't happy with their book. I am assisting them with editing their book to make it what they wanted to. And now they're going to self-publish and make it their legacy book. So my friends, I hope this has really helped you with deciding how to pick an editor. And I hope this has really given you a lot of value. Remember, I love to work with people who are working, like, you know, I love to work with clients who are confused, not know what they're doing, not know where to go on their next step in self-publishing. I offer a variety of services that can get you from idea all the way to publish on KDP. Definitely hit me up on my website and or book a Path to Publishing discovery call. The link is in the show notes below. Until next week, my friends, this is Lynn Aliquity reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. Thanks for joining me today on the Self-Publishing for Professionals podcast. If you found the information on today's show valuable, be sure to subscribe and get the next episode dropped as soon as it's published. This podcast is brought to you by Unicorn Publishing Company. The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guests, and affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional, legal, or financial advice or any professional advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guests are those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guests, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or actions taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests from any liability.